Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to a hot, muggy July Gulf Coast Saturday morning. Glad to have you with us. Got lots to talk about this morning. Glad you decided to tune us in before your little trip to the great outdoors. Want to wish good luck to the contestants in the Blue Boot Rodeo taking place down out of the Grand Isle Marina this weekend. Got some details for that event and also some other rodeos. It is definitely rodeo season in Louisiana. Well, the Louisiana Red Snapper season reopened yesterday, but when it did, it was under some different dates. We'll run down those for you, and also we'll recap the highlights of this Thursday's Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting. They gave reports on the Louisiana turkey population, and also want to let you know how much of your money is going out of state through Ducks Unlimited and Delta Waterfowl, and the more important question, is it coming back to you as a Louisiana duck hunter? And after a little research, as promised, I'm going to answer a question that came last week's show regarding kayakers. All paddlers, stand by for that. This week, bad boys of the outdoors are a Texas trio. They were sighted by Department of Wildlife and Fisheries enforcement agents. It was the result of a tip lead and some incriminating video footage. We'll have that story coming up for you. Also going to take a little sneak preview of what's coming up this summer on Bayou Wild TV. If you had a chance to watch our program this morning, early this morning, it airs on some of our stations. DJ Rhett, the indomitable DJ Rhett on an alligator hunt. You know, nothing good can come out of at least it's going to be an extremely humorous trip with DJ Rhett catching alligators. Well, if you happen to have a successful fishing trip this week, we'd like to include the information along with your comments, your questions, to join the reports of our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that by texting your message real time, comes right here to the studio, 504-260-1870. That number again is 504-260-1870. Taking a look at your coastal marine forecast. Northwest and southerly winds, kind of a shifting wind, but very light, only 5 knots, about 1 foot offshore. That is great news for the rodeos with offshore categories. On the interior lakes and bays, a westerly start, but becoming southerly. Still light, 5 knots, some smooth conditions. Tomorrow, pretty much the same report. And the average tide, well, we had some neap tides this week, which were very slack, but it's starting to pick up. Got about a half a foot average tide range. Could be a little more, could be a little less in your area. But despite that, And despite some big pop-up storms and water spouts, the fishing was off the charts saltwater-wise this week. We'll get those reports coming up for you. Got about a 30% chance of rain, and when you do get caught in it this time of the year, it's usually a deluge, but doesn't usually last very long and kind of cools things off. The old muddy Mississippi is sitting at 4.9. Tendency is to continue to rise. We'll talk more about that and its impact to the fishing here in Louisiana. Well, our lineup looks like this. We're going to talk to Robbie Campo coming up just a few minutes. He's down at Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. Had some beautiful pictures of some big speckled trout that came in. He'll tell you when, where, and how those were caught this week. Also, we're going to be chatting with Darryl Carpenter. Also, some big fish, surprisingly good-sized fish, coming in from the Grand Isle area. Mike Gallo's got a report. He's got an appearance coming up this week where you can get out and meet him on a fishing seminar. And for you paddlers, Brendan Bayard will join us to talk about that. And for fishing down the tip of the boot down in Plaquemines Parish, Ryan Lambert will join us. He's our plastic man, and he's got a report for you. It's a full 2 hours of the stuff you and I love to talk about. We've been doing it each and every Saturday morning. In 2 weeks, we'll be celebrating 35 years of doing it. Where has the time gone? Stick around, get you another cup of coffee, relax, or get in the truck and head to the boat launch, because you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we're going to have Robbie Campo joining us momentarily. Had some good reports coming in. He sent me some really nice pictures of some of those big trout that typically you catch. Probably came from the Sound or out there near the end of the rocks, deeper water. I know interior marsh fishing in those shallow ponds right now. You're wasting your time on speckled trout. Now, redfish, a different story, but specks, they got to seek that cooler water when it gets so hot like it is right now. And if you're able to, if the weather allows you to get out there, you're going to be able to get a hold of some of those big trout. And that was not the only place that they were coming in down from Shell Beach, but certainly one of the good places. We're also going to be talking to Darryl Carpenter. He had experienced the same thing. He caught some big trout. He said you had to kind of weed through those 13 to 15 inches trout, but he said it, you know, it's been really good down there, and we'll talk to him a little bit later on. The fishing down there by Robbie and Breton Sound, they were fishing east and west of the Mistigo all the way out to the Chandelier Islands, and he saw a lot of good fish come in this week. Trout fishing on the inside, as I mentioned, really slow for trout, but a few redfish around there. Robbie did caution me to remind all the listeners, they're down to one bait boat until Monday. So that means the availability of live shrimp, if you're headed down that way, could be a problem. So I suggest you call down there, call Robbie first, and if he doesn't have them, maybe one of the other bait shops that's further up the road. Because once you get to Campo's Marina, you're at the launch. There's no other places you're going to find live shrimp. And we do have Robbie joining us now on a busy Saturday morning. Robbie, as I was telling the listeners, the fishing has really been good down there. But tell us where those big speckled trout are coming from and how were they caught. I'm thinking probably on the sliding cork.
Don, you talking to me? This phone is kind of messing up on me here. We on?
Yes, we are. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. Well, all right. I know we've been having some trouble for the last couple of weeks, but I tell you, Don, yesterday was just a exciting. Well, this whole past week has been an exciting week out here in Breton Sound. You can't ask for better fishing if you were fly. I had people catch fish on the islands fly fishing and limit out with speckled trout. It's just been a phenomenal week. The east and west of the channel, you know, in the Margot Channel out there and by Central Field and by the five well rigs, I mean, it's just been phenomenal fishing. You know, you just can't ask for any better. I don't know why these trout turned on like they did it because it was for a while there, but I know it was a lot of weather-related deal. But yes, the slide cork has been making a difference. A lot of people don't like to use it. They don't know how to use it. But I tell you, Don, it has made a big difference in the catches of fish out here and seeing what's coming in, what's put on the table.
Robbie, you know, I was looking at the tides this week, and it was almost a neap tide, and I'm thinking, man, you know, we got some pretty flat seas, and the conditions are okay, but without any tide, it's a shame because I think the fishing's going to be off, but I was wrong. And you know what I'm thinking? Do you think, you know what happens when tropical storms, depressions, and hurricanes come in the Gulf? it usually stimulates the fishing behind them. And Beryl was a long way from us, but we did get some residual rain and a little bit of breeze from it, so I'm thinking maybe it affected the fishing here.
You know, Don, it's not we don't like to see tropical systems come into the Gulf, and you know, just for the sake of, we got to pick up everything and move everything, and you know, high waters around here because, you know, tide comes up so high so fast now around this place. You know, it ain't even funny. So, but it does make the fishing better on the tail end of it. And that could have been what was going on, Don. But, you know, I tell you, redfish kind of slowed down around here in the inside a little bit because they were catching the heck out of redfish up in Lake Bourne and up in the Biloxi Marsh and even on the south side of the channel behind the Delacroix area. But that has kind of like tapered off a little bit. But when this trout fishing turned on, it looked like everybody wants to catch trout start wet. So, and that looked like that turned on. So, I mean, things are just happening, and I'm glad it did because we're all sitting here twiddling our thumbs like, where's the trout? But the trout were there. I just don't know why they weren't biting. I couldn't figure it out. But you know, it could have been the little tail end of this. Residual off this tropical storm that made things happen, Don. I don't know, but I tell you, Don. You know, everybody's look, and here we go again. You know, we're in July, so we're in transitioning from brown shrimp to white shrimp. There's another thing I need to tell people about. You're in transition from brown shrimp to white shrimp. And everywhere you go, you're gonna have small live shrimp. Okay, don't hate the bait catcher because the shrimp are small. It's just what's out there. I mean, we're trying to do the best we can. Bait's been small. It's got smaller over the last couple of days, Don. The nice brownies kind of went out. And, you know, brown shrimp and white shrimp don't mix. So the brown shrimp are going out. If you're coming down here this morning, we only got one boat working because the other guy's on vacation. So if you're coming down here and you're going to be a little bit later, stop and get, you know, make phone calls for live bait this morning, whether it be at Paris Road, Bait Inc., or by Tony Cucci. And if you're coming in on 510, stop and get some because we're going to be out. This place is hopping this weekend. We got two different rodeos going on this weekend. Not here, but we got two different rodeos going on down here this weekend, and this place is packed. So a lot of people at their camps. Make phone calls, people, I'm telling you, because I don't want you to get here and, oh, you don't have none. Oh, my God. But that is what's going to happen if you don't make phone calls this morning.
I tell you what would be nice would be a mess of live croakers right now for this time of year if you can get them, you know.
Yeah, right. Talk about. We had some earlier this morning. Man, those things went like popcorn. I'm telling you, they were just going. They flew off the. They flew out the tank so quick, man, you didn't even – I'm telling you. And look, Don, and the deal is you catch 1,000 to keep 300 or 400.
Right.
The water
right.
quality here just isn't good enough to do that. But, you know, Don, and one other thing, I got to give a shout-out to a lady that who wakes up every Saturday morning to listen to us on his radio, and that's Miss Sylvia Giovingo. She gets up every Saturday morning and listens to us, and I know she'd be surprised to hear me say this. But thank you, Miss Sylvia, for doing that. And I was waiting for these phone lines to get fixed again so I could tell her that.
Well, Sylvia, thank you for being a loyal listener. We really appreciate it, and a good morning to you. Robbie, thanks for that good report. And when you run out of bait, shoot me a text, and I'll pass it along for people coming down a little later.
I will. I'll keep you notified. All right, buddy. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Robbie Campo, Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. All right, we got some good text messages coming in. I'll address those. Also tell you about the Blue Boot Rodeo and an opportunity to get the kids a free life jacket today. Today only. We'll tell you how to do it when we come back right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, a couple things I wanted to get to early here. The red snapper season for Louisiana was temporarily closed and has reopened now. It reopened yesterday, but it's opening up under different circumstances. When we opened the season up back in April on the 15th, what happened was we had a seven-day-a-week season. That has now reverted back to what we've experienced in previous years. It's three-day weekends, Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. Now, there's one exception. The weekend of Labor Day will also be open on that Monday, so it'll be a four-day weekend. But other than that, it's only Friday, Saturdays, and Sunday to keep Red Snapper, and that will continue to be that way until the harvest quota numbers come in and say that we have reached the total quota, which here in Louisiana was over 900 million pounds this year. Again, the limit remains the same. It's four per person, and it's 16-inch minimum size on the red snapper. So go get you some snappers. All right, the Blue Boot Rodeo. This is taking place this weekend at the Grand Isle Marina. It's a really wonderful event. It's the brainstorm and the formation of the Blue Boot Foundation, founded by Darby and Nicole Bourgeois. You may recall we talked to them last year on the radio about why they started this rodeo. They lost their young son in a tragic drowning accident. And from that time on, have pledged to create more awareness about water safety, especially with kids. They've started this Blue Boot Rodeo, which has been nothing short of a phenomenal success. It's grown to one of the bigger rodeos across the state, got all the different categories. And today only, they've got a really special event that's going to go on. And this provides free life jackets, also known as PFDs, personal flotation devices, for kids from any age 12 and under. If they show up at the Blue Boot Rodeo, they get them a free life jacket. Now, here's another aspect of this. If you've already gotten a PFD for your kid, and you know how fast kids grow, yeah, when it gets time to go back to school shopping, you know what I'm talking about. Well, if you're a previous recipient, you bring your old life jacket and you exchange it for a bigger size. Now, how about that? You can't beat that. That's going to be at the Grand Isle Marina today between noon and 5 p.m. It's all part of the Children's Water Safety Awareness. So congratulations to Darby and Nicole for putting that rodeo together. Also, a little sideline, a couple of the LSU baseball players have gotten involved. Tommy Tank White and Alex Malazzo, the catcher, and our producer, director for Bayou Wild TV was down there with them last week, and I think he's down there with them this week, and they're going to be filming an episode of Bayou Wild TV and talking about their baseball careers and also their involvement with the Blue Boot Rodeo. It's very generous of them to give their time to go down there and get involved with that. All right, text messages, we get them at 504-260-1870. Here's a good one. This one's wanting to know the best depth and presentation to fish for mangrove snappers. Now, this is from, I see it's from an Alabama number, so I'm not sure what type of structure or where you're fishing. Where there's oil structures, rigs, like in Louisiana, that's going to be the number one target. Probably off the Alabama coast, you're probably fishing wrecks or shell bottoms. If there's any type of structure, in fact, you've got much saltier water closer in, so maybe perhaps the fishing piers will also hold some mangrove snappers. As far as depth and presentation, you're going to want to use cut bait or live bait. Live croakers are perfect. You can use live shrimp, but you've got to use a low visibility line. Mangrove snappers are one of the finickiest, sharpest fish to catch. They're very tricky, and they can see line, they see hooks. Bury your hook in the bait where they can't see it. And as far as depth, you don't use any weights. Unlike red snapper, which generally are going to be in the lower part of the water column, snappers could be anywhere along the structure from top to bottom. And the way I like to fish them is if you're using a spinning reel, which is my preferred type, you open the bail, throw it out there, just basically a leader and a hook with the low-vis line, and throw it out there and let it sink. And just let it keep sinking and sinking, and eventually those fish are going to, it's going to get into the strike zone, and you're going to find them. And one of the techniques, the problem when you're fishing, or if you're fishing around rigs, is they wrap the line around the rigs and they break it off. They're very good at that. For the first few seconds, they're very powerful fish. The technique is, if you're fishing on the bow of the boat and you're tied up to a rig or structure, run to the back of the boat while you close your bail. And don't even start reeling. Just drag the fish away from that rig and then fight him once you get him away from the rig. And that's going to be pretty successful. Very interesting fish. Very good tasting fish. So good luck. Let me know how you do. All right, I've got some more text coming in. We got more reports. Lots of stuff to talk about. Back to do it after this three-minute pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, checking up on our text message board. That number is 504-260-1870. I love to see this. You know, we had a listener wanted to know about depth and presentation info on mangrove snappers, and we got a listener that replied, the backstrap stacker, who is over there in Alabama, and he shares this information. He says the best spot for mangroves around Alabama Point is around the docks and the jetties off Ono Island. The dead shrimp is great for them. So there you go. There's a little more advice for you. And, yeah, the jetties, rock structure, any structure is going to hold mangrove snappers, and you do need to be in a pretty high salinity area. All right, I got some more texts coming in. We've got Captain Ross L. He's a regular. He's down there at Cajun Fishing Adventures. He didn't get to fish much. He had to run around the weather, but the fish are there. And he suggests, you know, they got kind of a slogan. You can fish anywhere, but if you want to go catching, come on down and fish Louisiana. That's the Louisiana Charter Boat Association's slogan. All right, if you want to get in on the text message board, it's 504-260-1870. Also, while we're talking about Alabama fishing, I got the big rodeo, the Alabama Deep Sea Rodeo, coming up next weekend. I'll be back to tell you a whole lot more about it. But first, we're going to pause just 15 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, they got a new dock, and they got a new boardwalk, and a new live weigh-in category. That's all part of the 91st Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. You know, the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo, which is going to be the last weekend in July, traditionally always is the absolute oldest. I think it started in 1928, and the Alabama Deep Sea Rodeo started in 1929, so it's got it by a year, and it's over there on Dauphin Island, and believe me, it's a wonder the island doesn't sink. There's a whole lot of people and traffic that come out there. The CCA has evolved. They've got a live weigh-in special awards category, and this year you can bring in a live flounder. That's added to the species of redfish and speckled trout. That's something new. And if you weigh in a legal fish and you've got a ticket, you'll be eligible for a total of $450,000, almost $500,000 in cash and prizes. The big prize, a contender 25-foot bay boat powered with a Yamaha Yamaha 250 horsepower outboard. So a great event takes place there on the Alabama coast off an island, and that's coming up next weekend. Check it out. The Grand Isle Rodeo, the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo, is the oldest in the state. That will be going on July 25th, 26th, 27th. Everyone's invited. You can fish at any of the registration outlets. If you need more information, Bridgeside Marina, Grand Isle Marina, and also Hurricane Hole Marina. Now, next week, down there in Robbie Campo territory, not far from Robbie, in fact, at the it's called Robin's Rock Dock. They're going to be having one of those St. Bernard seafood markets where you buy the St. Bernard seafood right off the boat from the fishermen. And they are going to have some tasty oysters this year. You can go down there and pick up a fresh sack of oysters. They don't get any fresher than that, you know. And I'll tell you, oysters is one of the best products out of Louisiana. It's going to be between 9 and 1. So when you come back in from fishing, and or if you want to make a trip down there between 9 and 1, Robin's Rock Dock, that's located, if you remember back in the day, they had the old Pipps Marina. It's not far from Pipps Marina and where the canal that goes to the Hopedale Lagoon. It's right there on the, going down would be on the left-hand side of the road. They're also going to have some entertainment from Adam Pierce, The Voice. So check out St. Bernard Seafood Market. Speaking of oysters, I love them. Raw, fried, char-grilled with an artichoke in a soup or a dip. What is your favorite way to enjoy oysters, if you can only have them one way? What would it be? I think mine would be crispy fried, but very moist and still raw on the inside. That's the way I like them. Hot, hot grease, light batter, coming right out of there. Text me, 504-260-1870. And let's get to some more of your texts. The Steel Man, he's checking in from Madisonville. He went sight fishing for reds around the Wrigley's last Sunday. Only saw a few. Wound two bulls. And, of course, now with the new regulations, you've got to release anything over 27 inches. There's no more possession of that one. He says he might give it another area tomorrow. So thanks for that report. That comes to us from the Steel Man. Let's see. We got some more. Wingbone says a lot of rain. Very hot day around Mobile Bay. Got a question. How's the fishing at the Train Trestles? Well, it's been pretty good this year. You know, that's a little deeper water in Pontchartrain. There's generally a slowdown during the middle of the summer, and then it picks up again as you get back to the fall. But right now, the way things have been going, I had a trip there with Captain Mike, and we'll be talking to him about that later. You know, you pull up underneath those bridges and bring you some live shrimp, and you're going to end up with something. Could be sheep's head, a black drum, a few redfish in Lake Pontchartrain, white trout. Lots of white trout have been there this year, and also you can catch some of those speckled trout too. So, you know, it's worth a shot if that's the place to fish. And with the wind projected today, I think it's going to be certainly going to be reachable to get out there. All right, we got, here's our friend the Lafayette Yakker. Been a while since we heard from him. He's waiting to hear on kayak registration. The tournaments have gone to electric motors, and sadly, he's going in that direction. Well, you know, that's weren't what kayaks were designed for, but everything gets high-tech, including the electronics. All right, when we come back after this, we're going to be checking in with Captain Darrell Carpenter a little while. I got also some Bayou Wild TV sneak previews to tell you about, and also kind of recap what went on at the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting. If you're a turkey or a duck hunter, you'll be interested to hear what was said. We'll be back to do it. But first, this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we're talking about oysters this morning because you'll be able to get you some fresh oysters right off the boat at Robin's Rock Dock next Saturday from 9 to 1. That's on the Hopedale Highway in St. Bernard. Going to have music, and there'll be other seafood items too, but I'll tell you, oysters are one of my favorites. And I forgot the way I like them is in gumbo. You know, you can put them in the ready-set gumbo, your own gumbo concoction, along with duck. That's a marriage made in heaven. Duck and oysters just seem to go together. All right, we got some texts coming in talking about the favorite way you like them. Someone says they like oysters Mosca and raw from Bayou Cook or Lake Washington. That's where the best oysters, according to them, come from. Our buddy David Hubble says, what concerns are there about eating fresh raw oysters outside of an R month due to water temperatures being warm? By the way, he likes them char-grilled. The R months, you know, there used to be a saying, and there's still some people say it, that, you know, you shouldn't eat oysters in any month that does not have an R in it. Well, if you look at the calendar, those months are the summer, hotter months, warmer. And that goes way back to when there were days of poor refrigeration. And a lot of times there might be spoilage or bacterial growth on oysters, and people refrain from eating them. But that's, you know, you can eat oysters any month of the year. Now, that's not to say they're totally 100% safe. They can be contaminated with a natural occurring bacteria in salt water called Vibrio vulnificus. And that can be fatal to some people. Generally, if you have a normal immune system, you're not going to have a problem. But if you have a compromised immune system, it can be very problematic. In fact, a lot of the restaurants are posting, and that's strictly raw oysters. If they're cooked, you got no problem. But if you're eating raw oysters, make sure that you know, you're in good health if you're going to be doing that. All right, so if you want to shoot us a text, it's 504-260-1870. All right, I wanted to go back to Thursday's Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting. There was a lot of items on the agenda. The two that stood out, I think, that are important to talk about to this audience would be duck hunters and turkey hunters in Louisiana. Ducks Unlimited has received from Louisiana hunters, and this is not by way of donations. This is through license sales. The money is diverted to them. It goes to habitat conservation on the breeding grounds in Canada. And Louisiana hunters have donated $2.8 million to Canada to preserve breeding ground habitat. And Delta waterfowl received, and I guess this is on an annual basis, they received $55,000 from Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, money that's diverted from the basic hunting license fees and waterfowl stamps. Well, you know, the question is, you know, I think when this was instituted, and it's been going on for a long time, I think it was a wise investment. Certainly that's where the ducks are hatched, and if you don't have good production, you're not going to have good fall seasons. But things have changed, and I think what it might be coming down to is Louisiana hunters are sending their money via Delta Waterfowl and Ducks Unlimited to the Canadian prairies, but the ducks don't come back this far. And a lot of it has to do with that 1998 reform where it allows flooding of harvested crops up the flyway. And I don't think there's much question, it's arguable, but I don't think there's much question that that definitely has some influence on the ducks that we no longer see coming down here to Louisiana. So anyway, your thoughts on it, and, you know, what do you think? Do you think it's a wise investment for Louisiana license fee money to be sent to Canada if we don't get the ducks back here in return? Maybe those organizations should try to improve the flight patterns, improve them to make them actually more normal to what they used to be. All right, also they talk turkey. I don't know. I'd hate to be a turkey manager. You know, there's two ways they measure the harvest. They get reports from surveys from people who buy turkey licenses. And then, of course, we have the validated tag system, which in a perfect world, you'd know every turkey that was killed, where it was killed, by who, and what it was, a Jake or a mature gobbler. Well, look at the difference. The survey says in 2024 there were 6,000 turkeys killed. In 2022, there were 9,000. I'm sorry, in 2023, there were, I think, 6,000. The validated tags in 2022 showed 3,000. So is it 9,000? Is it 3,000? If it's 9,000, we got a whole lot of bad boys in Louisiana not validating and tagging their turkeys. And what is the department using to determine what the population is? Are they using the validated tags? Are they using the survey reports? They touting it now. They sent out a headline saying this is the most turkeys ever validated since the program's been in. Well, is it because more people are validating the tags, or because more turkeys are being killed? And if that's the fact, what is the bar? What is the trigger number where when the turkeys reach a certain population, which they said they've been down, that they will restore the earlier seasons? You know, there's no doubt that by moving the hunting season back further into the breeding period, that it's beyond the peak breeding period. The peak breeding period, according to...
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, checking up on our text message board. That number is 504-260-1870. I love to see this. You know, we had a listener wanted to know about depth and presentation info on mangrove snappers, and we got a listener that replied, the backstrap stacker, who is over there in Alabama, and he shares this information. He says the best spot for mangroves around Alabama Point is around the docks and the jetties off Ono Island. The dead shrimp is great for them. So there you go. There's a little more advice for you. And, yeah, the jetties, rock structure, any structure is going to hold mangrove snappers, and you do need to be in a pretty high salinity area. All right, got some more texts coming in. We've got Captain Ross L. He's a regular. He's down there at Cajun Fishing Adventures. He didn't get to fish much. He had to run around the weather, but the fish are there. And he suggests, you know, they've got kind of a slogan. You can fish anywhere, but if you want to go catching, come on down and fish Louisiana. That's the Louisiana Charter Boat Association's slogan. All right, if you want to get in on the text message board, it's 504-260-1870. Also, while we're talking about Alabama fishing, I got the big rodeo, the Alabama Deep Sea Rodeo, coming up next weekend. I'll be back to tell you a whole lot more about it. But first, we're going to pause just 15 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, they got a new dock, and they got a new boardwalk, and a new live weigh-in category. That's all part of the 91st Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. You know, the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo, which is going to be the last weekend in July, traditionally always is the absolute oldest. I think it started in 1928, and the Alabama Deep Sea Rodeo started in 1929, so it's got it by a year. And it's over there on Dauphin Island, and believe me, it's a wonder the island doesn't sink. There's a whole lot of people and traffic that come out there. The CCA has evolved. They've got a live weigh-in, a special awards category. And this year, you can bring in a live flounder. That's added to the species of redfish and speckled trout. That's something new. And if you weigh in a legal fish and you've got a ticket, you'll be eligible for a total of $450,000, almost $500,000 in cash and prizes. The big prize, a Contender 25-foot bay boat powered with a Yamaha 250-horsepower outboard. So a great event takes place there on the Alabama coast, Dauphin Island, and that's coming up next weekend. Check it out. The Grand Isle Rodeo, the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo, is the oldest in the state. That will be going on July 25th, 26th, 27th. Everyone's invited. You can fish at any of the registration outlets. If you need more information, Bridgeside Marina, Grand Isle Marina, and also Hurricane Hole Marina. Now, next week, down there in Robbie Campo territory, not far from Robbie, in fact, at the it's called Robin's Rock Dock. They're going to be having one of those St. Bernard seafood markets where you buy the St. Bernard seafood right off the boat from the fishermen. And they are going to have some tasty oysters this year. You can go down there and pick up a fresh sack of oysters. They don't get any fresher than that, you know. And I'll tell you, oysters is one of the best products out of Louisiana. It's going to be between 9 and 1. So when you come back in from fishing, and or if you want to make a trip down there between 9 and 1, Robin's Rock Dock, that's located, if you remember back in the day, they had the old Pipps Marina. It's not far from Pipps Marina and where the canal that goes to the Hopedale Lagoon. It's right there on the, going down would be on the left-hand side of the road. They're also going to have some entertainment from Adam Pierce, The Voice. So check out St. Bernard Seafood Market. Speaking of oysters, I love them. Raw, fried, char-grilled with an artichoke in a soup or a dip. What is your favorite way to enjoy oysters if you can only have them one way? What would it be? I think mine would be crispy fried but very moist and still raw on the inside. That's the way I like them. Hot, hot grease, light batter coming right out of there. Text me, 504-260-1870. And let's get to some more of your texts. The Steel Man, he's checking in from Madisonville. He went sight fishing for reds around the Wrigley's last Sunday. Only saw a few. Wound two bulls. And, of course, now with the new regulations, you've got to release anything over 27 inches. There's no more possession of that one. He says he might give it another area tomorrow. So thanks for that report. That comes to us from the Steel Man. Let's see. We got some more. Wingbone says a lot of rain. Very hot day around Mobile Bay. Got a question. How's the fishing at the train trestles? Well, it's been pretty good this year. You know, that's a little deeper water in Pontchartrain. There's generally a slowdown during the middle of the summer, and then it picks up again as you get back to the fall. But right now, the way things have been going, I had a trip there with Captain Mike, and we'll be talking to him about that later. You know, you pull up underneath those bridges and bring you some live shrimp, and you're going to end up with something. Could be sheep's head, a black drum, a few redfish in Lake Pontchartrain, white trout. Lots of white trout have been there this year, and also you can catch some of those speckled trout too. So, you know, it's worth a shot if that's the place to fish. And with the wind projected today, I think it's going to be certainly going to be reachable to get out there. All right, we got, here's our friend, the Lafayette Yacker. Been a while since we heard from him. He's waiting to hear on kayak registration. The tournaments have gone to electric motors, and sadly, he's going in that direction. Well, you know, that's weren't what kayaks were designed for, but everything gets high-tech, including the electronics. All right, when we come back after this, we're going to be checking in with Captain Darryl Carpenter a little while. I got also some Bayou Wild TV sneak previews to tell you about, and also kind of recap what went on at the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting. If you're a turkey or a duck hunter, you'll be interested to hear what was said. We'll be back to do it. But first, this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we're talking about oysters this morning because you'll be able to get you some fresh oysters right off the boat at Robin's Rock Dock next Saturday from 9 to 1. That's on the Hopedale Highway in St. Bernard. Going to have music, and there'll be other seafood items too. But I'll tell you, oysters are one of my favorites. And I forgot the way I like them is in gumbo. You know, you can put them in the ready-set gumbo, your own gumbo concoction, along with duck. That's a marriage made in heaven. Duck and oysters just seem to go together. All right, we got some texts coming in talking about the favorite way you like them. Someone says they like oysters Mosca and raw from Bayou Cook or Lake Washington. That's where the best oysters, according to them, come from. Our buddy David Hubble says, what concerns are there about eating fresh raw oysters outside of an R month due to water temperatures being warm? By the way, he likes them char-grilled. The R months, you know, there used to be a saying, and there's still some people say it, that, you know, you shouldn't eat oysters in any month that does not have an R in it. Well, if you look at the calendar, those months are the summer, hotter months, warmer. And that goes way back to when there were days of poor refrigeration. And a lot of times there might be spoilage or bacterial growth on oysters. And People refrain from eating them, but that's, you know, you can eat oysters any month of the year. Now, that's not to say they're totally 100% safe. They can be contaminated with a natural occurring bacteria in salt water called Vibrio vulnificus, and that can be fatal to some people. Generally, if you have a normal immune system, you're not going to have a problem. But if you have a compromised immune system, it can be very problematic. In fact, a lot of the restaurants are posting, and that's strictly raw oysters. If they're cooked, you got no problem. But if you're eating raw oysters, make sure that you know, you're in good health if you're going to be doing that. All right, so if you want to shoot us a text, it's 504-260-1870. All right, I wanted to go back to Thursday's Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting. There was a lot of items on the agenda. The two that stood out, I think, that are important to talk about to this audience would be duck hunters and turkey hunters in Louisiana. Ducks Unlimited has received from Louisiana hunters, and this is not by way of donations. This is through license sales. The money is diverted to them. It goes to habitat conservation on the breeding grounds in Canada. And they have, Louisiana hunters have donated $2.8 million to Canada to preserve breeding ground habitat. And Delta Waterfowl have received, and I guess this is on an annual basis, they received $55,000 from Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, money that's diverted from the basic hunting license fees and waterfowl stamps. Well, you know, the question is, you know, I think when this was instituted, and it's been going on for a long time, I think it was a wise investment. Certainly that's where the ducks are hatched, and if you don't have good production, you're not going to have good fall seasons. But things have changed, and I think what it might be coming down to is Louisiana hunters are sending their money via Delta Waterfowl and Ducks Unlimited to the Canadian prairies, but the ducks don't come back this far. And a lot of it has to do with that 1998 reform where it allows flooding of harvested crops up the flyway. And I don't think there's much question, it's arguable, but I don't think there's much question that that definitely has some influence on the ducks that we no longer see coming down here to Louisiana. So anyway, your thoughts on it, and you know, what do you think? Do you think it's a wise investment for Louisiana license fee money to be sent to Canada if we don't get the ducks back here in return? Maybe those organizations should try to improve the flight patterns, improve them to make them actually more normal to what they used to be. All right. Also, they talk turkey. I don't know. I'd hate to be a turkey manager. You know, there's two ways they measure the harvest. They get reports from surveys from people who buy turkey licenses. And then, of course, we have the validated tag system, which in a perfect world, you'd know every turkey that was killed, where it was killed, by who, and what it was, a Jake or a mature gobbler. Well, look at the difference. The survey says in 2024 there were 6,000 turkeys killed. In 2022, there were 9,000. I'm sorry, in 2023, there were, I think, 6,000. The validated tags in 2022 showed 3,000. So is it 9,000? Is it 3,000? If it's 9,000, we got a whole lot of bad boys in Louisiana not validating and tagging their turkeys. And what is the department using to determine what the population is? Are they using the validated tags? Are they using the survey reports? They touting it now. They sent out a headline saying this is the most turkeys ever validated since the program's been in. Well, is it because more people are validating the tags, or because more turkeys are being killed? And if that's the fact, what is the bar? What is the trigger number where when the turkeys reach a certain population, which they said they've been down, that they will restore the earlier seasons? You know, there's no doubt that by moving the hunting season back further into the breeding period, that it's beyond the peak breeding period. The peak breeding period, according to where I hunt and most people I speak to, has been during the youth season. And once youth season is over, it's on the downslide from there. And there's proof. They said that almost, I think it's somewhere around 90% of the turkeys that are killed each year or taken during the first week of the season. Well, it's obvious. Well, when is it going to be good enough to get back to, since this is the most ever reported, indicating that maybe it's the best the turkey population's been since 2009 when they put those tagging regulations in place. Is it time to revisit it and say, let's move the season back up to mid-March? Get people back into it. A lot of people have quit turkey hunting. But instead, they keep it moved back. They keep the limit reduced to two. And the jakes now, they even made it more restrictive. There's no killing of jakes except by youth hunters. So the restrictions keep getting tighter and the population keeps growing, according to their own report. So which is it? They're also asking for people to do some reporting in their online survey. Go to the Wildlife Fisheries website. I don't think you can have too much data, except in this case, maybe trying to determine the difference between what's validated tags and what people are saying that they have taken is quite a bit of difference. All right, that will continue. We ain't solving it this morning on a radio show, that's for sure. But one thing we will have is a fishing report from Grand Isle. It's next with Captain Darrell Carpenter here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I'll tell you, all indications, if you didn't get out and fish this week, you missed a good week, maybe the best week of the season so far for saltwater fishing. It was certainly good down in Grand Isle. And let's talk to Darrell Carpenter and get some more information on it. Darrell, you guys had a pretty good week catching some big trout down there.
Yes, sir. Once that weather cleared up, I mean, we had some windy, rainy conditions where it knocked most of the mornings out. So if you were going to fish, you mostly had to fish the afternoons. But once all that cleared out, I say cleared out, heck, it chased me all day. It was like I owed it money. but we had to run from a bunch of storms or one particular hard-headed storm. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, Don, that's what we talked about earlier yesterday. The good part was, we'd find fish and then we'd get an hour maybe on the spot and then we'd have to move because of this lightning storm that was coming at us. The good point is we found fish everywhere. I mean, we had to hit multiple spots that I wasn't planning on hitting, and multiple spots had 18 to 20 inch fish on it. So, I mean, I guess that's the good news. And like I said, I think some of these bigger fish that have gone through their spawning since March or so, I think some of them are starting to move back in already.
You know, Darrell, I was watching the weather forecast each and every day, and it was amazing how those rainstorms just hung along the coast, and then when they started to move inland later in the day, they'd actually break up for the most part. But you guys got your ample supply of drenching down there. But do you agree that possibly those lingering effects, after effects of Beryl that moved this way stimulated the fishing like what normally happens whenever we've got a tropical storm or depression in the Gulf?
You know, it's not uncommon for us to get a storm and something like that take place. I don't know. I can't answer that question because, you know, they were predicting coastal flooding and all with Beryl that came in, and we didn't even see an elevated tide. So, yes, did we get to see some rain? Yes. Did it cool it off a little bit, you know, and that type of stuff? But I don't know that we saw a whole lot of effects. Like I said, Grand Isle, if the tide was 6 inches higher than normal, then that's stretching it. It wasn't much at all.
And you got white trout mixed in there. Was there any particular technique or bait that you used, or was it pretty much anything anywhere?
Don, we never opened the live well. I had 200 live shrimp or so with me. We never opened the live well. Everything was caught either top water, matrix shad jigs on the bottom, or that marker 54 under a cork. We literally never used the first one yesterday, the first live bait yesterday.
Well, I can give you some suggestions with what to do with those unused shrimp when you get back. I can tell you that.
Well, like Robbie said, they're small. They're, you know, our white shrimp.
Yeah, true.
The good news is that it doesn't look like, you know, Grand Isle's known to have that 6 week or so drought where we get no shrimp when the browns leave before the whites come in. It looks like that's not going to happen this year. We're already catching just a tremendous amount of little small whites. And everywhere I stopped yesterday, there was good shrimp being chased everywhere. I'm talking even after that storm passed at, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, you round a corner and there's shrimp just blowing up everywhere with trout on their behinds chasing them. So I don't know that we're going to have that shrimp shortage this year. The hard part right now is keeping enough croakers.
Yeah, exactly, with this hot weather. Speaking of the hot weather, a lot of people are starting to go out early, and I know we have a lot of Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents who monitor this show. Tell me what you're seeing out there, because people are leaving earlier in the dark.
Well, it's like I told you in our text earlier. Yesterday was probably, and look, I do a lot of nighttime shrimping and stuff, so I've gotten very comfortable being on the water at night in the dark. But yesterday spooked me a little bit. I mean, these people have got to start getting some lights. look, there's not a fish out there, there's not a daylight bite out there that's worth either losing your life or losing your financial freedom when you lose everything you have. But you got boats running around out there, Don, with no lights on. I mean, and it's spooky. I mean, we've got no moon right now. And, you know, we ran across multiple boats yesterday on our way out. My customers got here early. We left 4:30, 4:45. And we were catching fish in the dark. But the amount of boats that we have running around in this bay right now with no lights on pre-dawn is out and out scary. And I just, man, none of it's worth losing a life over. Go get some lights, even the battery-operated ones if you only do it, you know, a couple times a year.
Well, if common sense doesn't motivate them to get the boat lit up, then maybe the threat of getting a ticket might do that. Darrell, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and get in on some of this fishing before it goes away, tell them how to get you.
They can find me on your website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. We've got RealScreamers.com. Or you can just pick up the phone and call 225-937-6288.
And where are you headed today?
Well, I got people waiting on me to go serve them some shrimp right now. So I'm going fixing to go count shrimp, and then I think we're staying right here close to the house in the bay today.
All right. Sounds like a winner. Darrell, thanks for the report, and y'all be safe down there and catch up with you next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Don. Have a good day.
All righty. Darrell Carpenter, realscreamers.com. You can do it either way, R-E-E-L or R-E-A-L, and you'll get him there. All right, when we come back after the top of the hour break, we got more fishing reports. We'll check in with Mike Gallo, Brendan Bayard with a paddler's report. Also, what I found about kayaking regulations. We'll also talk to the plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert, and a whole lot more of your text, 504-260-1870. What's your favorite oyster dish? Back with all of that right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we're talking about oysters this morning because you'll be able to get you some fresh oysters right off the boat at Robbins Rock Dock next Saturday from 9 to 1. That's on the Hopedale Highway in St. Bernard. Going to have music, and there'll be other seafood items too, but I'll tell you, oysters are one of my favorites, and I forgot the way I like them is in gumbo. You know, you can put them in the ready-set gumbo, your own gumbo concoction along with duck. That's a marriage made in heaven. Duck and oysters just seem to go together. All right, we got some texts coming in talking about the favorite way you like them. Someone says they like oysters Mosca and raw from Bayou Cook or Lake Washington. That's where the best oysters, according to them, come from. Our buddy David Hubble says, what concerns are there about eating fresh raw oysters outside of an R month due to water temperatures being warm? By the way, he likes them char-grilled. The R months, you know, there used to be a saying, and there's still some people say it, that, you know, you shouldn't eat oysters in any month that does not have an R in it. Well, if you look at the calendar, those months are the summer, hotter months, warmer. And that goes way back to when there were days of poor refrigeration. And a lot of times there might be spoilage or bacterial growth on oysters, and people refrain from eating them, but that's, you know, you can eat oysters any month of the year. Now, that's not to say they're totally 100% safe. They can be contaminated with a natural occurring bacteria in salt water called Vibrio vulnificus, and that can be fatal to some people. Generally, if you have a normal immune system, you're not going to have a problem. But if you have a compromised immune system, it can be very problematic. In fact, a lot of the restaurants are posting, and that's strictly raw oysters. If they're cooked, you got no problem. But if you're eating raw oysters, make sure that you know, you're in good health if you're going to be doing that. All right, so if you want to shoot us a text, it's 504-260-1870. All right, I wanted to go back to Thursday's Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting. There was a lot of items on the agenda. The two that stood out, I think, that are important to talk about to this audience would be duck hunters and turkey hunters in Louisiana. Ducks Unlimited has received from Louisiana hunters, and this is not by way of donations. This is through license sales. The money is diverted to them. It goes to habitat conservation on the breeding grounds in Canada. And Louisiana hunters have donated $2.8 million to Canada to preserve breeding ground habitat. And Delta Waterfowl received, and I guess this is on an annual basis, they received $55,000 from Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, money that's diverted from the basic hunting license fees and waterfowl stamps. Well, you know, the question is, you know, I think when this was instituted, and it's been going on for a long time, I think it was a wise investment. Certainly that's where the ducks are hatched, and if you don't have good production, you're not going to have good fall seasons. But things have changed, and I think what it might be coming down to is Louisiana hunters are sending their money via Delta Waterfowl and Ducks Unlimited to the Canadian prairies, but the ducks don't come back this far. And a lot of it has to do with that 1998 reform where it allows flooding of harvested crops up the flyway. And I don't think there's much question, it's arguable, but I don't think there's much question that that definitely has some influence on the ducks that we no longer see coming down here to Louisiana. So anyway, your thoughts on it, and you know, what do you think? Do you think it's a wise investment for Louisiana license fee money to be sent to Canada if we don't get the ducks back here in return? Maybe those organizations should try to improve the flight patterns, improve them to make them actually more normal to what they used to be. All right. Also, they talk turkey. I don't know. I'd hate to be a turkey manager. You know, there's two ways they measure the harvest. They get reports from surveys from people who buy turkey licenses. And then, of course, we have the validated tag system, which in a perfect world, you'd know every turkey that was killed, where it was killed, by who, and what it was, a Jake or a mature gobbler. Well, look at the difference. The survey says in 2024 there were 6,000 turkeys killed. In 2022, there were 9,000. I'm sorry, in 2023, there were, I think, 6,000. The validated tags in 2022 showed 3,000. So is it 9,000? Is it 3,000? If it's 9,000, we got a whole lot of bad boys in Louisiana not validating and tagging their turkeys. And what is the department using to determine what the population is? Are they using the validated tags? Are they using the survey reports? They touting it now. They sent out a headline saying this is the most turkeys ever validated since the program's been in. Well, is it because more people are validating the tags, or because more turkeys are being killed? And if that's the fact, what is the bar? What is the trigger number where when the turkeys reach a certain population, which they said they've been down, that they will restore the earlier seasons? You know, there's no doubt that by moving the hunting season back further into the breeding period, that it's beyond the peak breeding period. The peak breeding period, according to where I hunt and most people I speak to, has been during the youth season. And once youth season is over, it's on the downslide from there. And there's proof. They said that almost, I think it's somewhere around 90% of the turkeys that are killed each year are taken during the first week of the season. Well, it's obvious. Well, when is it going to be good enough to get back to, since this is the most ever reported, indicating that maybe it's the best the turkey population's been since 2009 when they put those tagging regulations in place, is it time to revisit it and say, let's move the season back up to mid-March, get people back into it? A lot of people have quit turkey hunting. But instead, they keep it moved back. They keep the limit reduced to 2. And the Jakes now, they even made it more restrictive. There's no killing of Jakes except by youth hunters. So the restrictions keep getting tighter and the population keeps growing, according to their own report. So which is it? They're also asking for people to do some reporting in their online survey. Go to the Wildlife Fisheries website. I don't think you can have too much data, except in this case, maybe trying to determine the difference between what's validated tags and what people are saying that they have taken is quite a bit of difference. All right, that will continue. We ain't solving it this morning on a radio show, that's for sure. But one thing we will have is a fishing report from Grand Isle. It's next with Captain Darrell Carpenter here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I'll tell you, all indications, if you didn't get out and fish this week, you missed a good week, maybe the best week of the season so far for saltwater fishing. It was certainly good down in Grand Isle. And let's talk to Darrell Carpenter and get some more information on it. Darrell, you guys had a pretty good week catching some big trout down there.
Yes, sir. Once that weather cleared up, I mean, we had some windy, rainy conditions where it knocked most of the mornings out. So if you were going to fish, you mostly had to fish the afternoons. But once all that cleared out, I say cleared out. Heck, it chased me all day. It was like I owed it money. but we had to run from a bunch of storms, or one particular hard-headed storm. But Yeah, I mean, I guess, Don, that's what we talked about earlier yesterday. The good part was we'd find fish and then we'd get an hour maybe on the spot and then we'd have to move because of this lightning storm that was coming at us. And the good point is we found fish everywhere. I mean, we had to hit multiple spots that I wasn't planning on hitting, and multiple spots had 18 to 20-inch fish on it. So, I mean, I guess that's the good news. And like I said, I think some of these bigger fish that have gone through their spawning since March or so, I think some of them are starting to move back in already.
You know, Darryl, I was watching the weather forecast each and every day, and it was amazing how those rainstorms just hung along the coast, and then when they started to move in later in the day, they'd actually break up for the most part. But you guys got your ample supply of drenching down there. But do you agree that possibly those lingering effects, after effects of Beryl that moved this way stimulated the fishing like what normally happens whenever we've got a tropical storm or depression in the Gulf?
You know, it's not uncommon for us to get a storm and something like that take place. I don't know. I can't answer that question because, you know, they were predicting coastal flooding and all with Beryl that came in, and we didn't even see an elevated tide. So, yes, did we get to see some rain? Yes. Did it cool it off a little bit, you know, and that type of stuff? But I don't know that we saw a whole lot of effects. Like I said, Grand Isle, if the tide was 6 inches higher than normal, then that's stretching it. It wasn't much at all.
And you got white trout mixed in there. Was there any particular technique or bait that you used, or was it pretty much anything anywhere?
Don, we never opened the live well. I had 200 live shrimp or so with me. We never opened the live well. Everything was caught either top water, matrix shad jigs on the bottom, or that marker 54 under a cork. We literally never used the first live bait yesterday.
Well, I can give you some suggestions with what to do with those unused shrimp when you get back. I can tell you that.
Well, like Robbie said, they're small.
Yeah, true.
Now, the good news is that it doesn't look like, you know, Grand Isle's known to have that 6 week or so drought where we get no shrimp when the browns leave before the whites come in. It looks like that's not going to happen this year. We're already catching just a tremendous amount of little small whites. And everywhere I stopped yesterday, there was good shrimp being chased everywhere. I'm talking even after that storm passed at, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, you round a corner and there's shrimp just blowing up everywhere with trout on their behinds chasing them. So I don't know that we're going to have that shrimp shortage this year. The hard part right now is keeping enough croakers.
Yeah, exactly, with this hot weather. Speaking of the hot weather, a lot of people are starting to go out early, and I know we have a lot of Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents who monitor this show. Tell me what you're seeing out there, because people are leaving earlier in the dark.
Well, it's like I told you in our text earlier. Yesterday was probably, and look, I do a lot of nighttime shrimping and stuff, so I've gotten very comfortable being on the water at night in the dark. But yesterday spooked me a little bit. I mean, these people have got to start getting some lights. Look, there's not a fish out there, there's not a daylight bite out there that's worth either losing your life or losing your financial freedom when you lose everything you have. But you got boats running around out there, Don, with no lights on. I mean, and it's spooky. I mean, we've got no moon right now. And, you know, we ran across multiple boats yesterday on our way out. My customers got here early. We left 4:30, 4:45. And that's it. We were catching fish in the dark. But the amount of boats that we have running around in this bay right now with no lights on pre-dawn is out and out scary. And I just, man, none of it's worth losing a life over. Go get some lights, even the battery-operated ones if you only do it, you know, a couple times a year.
Well, if common sense doesn't motivate them to get the boat lit up, then maybe the threat of getting a ticket might do that. Darryl, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and get in on some of this fishing before it goes away, tell them how to get you.
They can find me on your website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. We've got RealScreamers.com. Or you can just pick up the phone and call 225-937-6288.
And where are you headed today?
Well, I got people waiting on me to go serve them some shrimp right now. So I'm going fixing to go count shrimp, and then I think we're staying right here close to the house in the bay today.
All right. Sounds like a winner. Darryl, thanks for the report, and y'all be safe down there and catch up with you next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Don. Have a good day.
All righty. Daryl Carpenter, realscreamers.com. You can do it either way, R-E-E-L or R-E-A-L, and you'll get him there. All right, when we come back after the top of the hour break, we got more fishing reports. We'll check in with Mike Gallo, Brendan Bayard with a paddler's report. Also, what I found about kayaking regulations. We'll also talk to the plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert, and a whole lot more of your text, 504-260-1870. What's your favorite oyster dish? Back with all of that right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I'll tell you, all indications, if you didn't get out and fish this week, you missed a good week, maybe the best week of the season so far for saltwater fishing. It was certainly good down in Grand Isle, and let's talk to Daryl Carpenter and get some more information on it. Daryl, you guys had a pretty good week catching some big trout down there.
Yes, sir. Once that weather cleared up, I mean, we had some windy, rainy conditions where it knocked most of the mornings out, so if you were going to fish, you mostly had to fish the afternoons. But once all that cleared out, I say cleared out, heck, it chased me all day. It was like I owed it money. but we had to run from a bunch of storms or one particular hard-headed storm. But, yeah, I mean, that, I guess, Don, that's what we talked about earlier yesterday. The good part was we'd find fish and then we'd get an hour maybe on the spot and then we'd have to move because of this lightning storm that was coming at us. And the good point is we found fish everywhere. I mean, we had to hit multiple spots that I wasn't planning on hitting, and multiple spots had 18 to 20-inch fish on it. So, I mean, I guess that's the good news. And like I said, I think, you know, I think some of these bigger fish that have gone through their spawning since March or so, I think some of them are starting to move back in already.
You know, Daryl, I was watching the weather forecast each and every day, and it was amazing how those rainstorms just hung along the coast, and then when they started to move in later in the day, they'd actually break up for the most part. But you guys got your ample supply of a drenching down there. But do you agree that possibly those lingering effects, after effects of Beryl that moved this way stimulated the fishing like what normally happens whenever we've got a tropical storm or depression in the Gulf?
You know, it's not uncommon for us to get a storm and something like that take place. I don't know. I can't answer that question because, you know, they were predicting coastal flooding and all with Beryl that came in, and we didn't even see an elevated tide. So, yes, did we get to see some rain? Yes. Did it cool it off a little bit, you know, and that type of stuff? But I don't know that we saw a whole lot of effects. Like I said, Grand Isle, if the tide was 6 inches higher than normal, then that's stretching it. It wasn't much at all.
And you got white trout mixed in there. Was there any particular technique or bait that you used, or was it pretty much anything anywhere?
Don, we never opened the live well. I had 200 live shrimp or so with me. We never opened the live well. Everything was caught either top water, matrix shad jigs on the bottom, or that marker 54 under a cork. We literally never used the first live bait yesterday.
Well, I can give you some suggestions with what to do with those unused shrimp when you get back. I can tell you that.
Well, like Robbie said, they're small. They're, you know, our white shrimp.
Yeah, true.
The good news is that it doesn't look like, you know, Grand Isle's known to have that 6 week or so drought where we get no shrimp when the browns leave before the whites come in. It looks like that's not going to happen this year. We're already catching just a tremendous amount of little small whites. And everywhere I stopped yesterday, there was good shrimp being chased everywhere. I'm talking even after that storm passed at, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, you round a corner and there's shrimp just blowing up everywhere with trout on their behinds chasing them. So I don't know that we're going to have that shrimp shortage this year. The hard part right now is keeping enough croakers.
Yeah, exactly, with this hot weather. Speaking of the hot weather, a lot of people are starting to go out early, and I know we have a lot of Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents who monitor this show. Tell me what you're seeing out there, because people are leaving earlier in the dark.
Well, it's like I told you in our text earlier. Yesterday was probably, and look, I do a lot of nighttime shrimping and stuff, so I've gotten very comfortable being on the water at night in the dark. But yesterday spooked me a little bit. I mean, these people have got to start getting some lights. Look, there's not a fish out there, there's not a daylight bite out there that's worth either losing your life or losing your financial freedom when you lose everything you have. But you got boats running around out there, Don, with no lights on. I mean, and it's spooky. I mean, we've got no moon right now. And, you know, we ran across multiple boats yesterday on our way out. My customers got here early. We left 4:30, 4:45, and we were catching fish in the dark. But the amount of boats that we have running around in this bay right now with no lights on pre-dawn is out and out scary. And I just, man, none of it's worth losing a life over. Go get some lights, even the battery operated ones, if you only do it, you know, a couple times a year.
Well, if common sense doesn't motivate them to get the boat lit up, then maybe the threat of getting a ticket might do that. Darrell, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and get in on some of this fishing before it goes away, tell them how to get you.
They can find me on your website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. We've got RealScreamers.com. Or you can just pick up the phone and call 225-937-6288.
And where are you headed today?
Well, I got people waiting on me to go serve them some shrimp right now. So I'm going fixing to go count shrimp, and then I think we're staying right here close to the house in the bay today.
All right. Sounds like a winner. Darrell, thanks for the report, and y'all be safe down there and catch up with you next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Don. Have a good day.
All righty. Darrell Carpenter, realscreamers.com. You can do it either way, R-E-E-L or R-E-A-L, and you'll get him there. All right, when we come back after the top of the hour break, we got more fishing reports. We'll check in with Mike Gallo, Brendan Bayard with a paddler's report. Also, what I found about kayaking regulations. We'll also talk to the plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert, and a whole lot more of your text, 504-260-1870. What's your favorite oyster dish? Back with all of that right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.